Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. All right, you can make your way back to your seats. Hopefully you met somebody new. Hey, I just want to thank you for being here today. We're grateful you decided to be here. And as Shira said, if this is one of your first times, feel free to give us a test drive and kick the tire. You ever heard that saying, kick the tire? Has anybody actually ever went to somewhere and kicked the tire? Anybody ever done that? Like, yeah, like a couple of you have kicked the tire. Well, kick the tires around. Don't kick people. Check us out. We would love to connect with you if we haven't yet. And we're all about just inviting everyday people to experience the hope of Jesus. And that's what I want for you today. So before we jump into today's message, I want to just be a champion for one thing. We've been talking about this for the last several weeks. Our process to get you in the know and understand what's going on, what City Hope's all about, any information you want to know, we call it The Loop. And The Loop is just a place for you to go. It's a three-week class, three different classes. And it's really what all the cool kids are doing, all right? So if you want to, I'm kind of peer pressuring you into going to this class. But check it out. And this is a place where you can become kind of like an official partner with City Hope and not just, you know, dating us anymore, but we can become, you know, partners together in the work for the Lord. And so first Sunday of the month, every first Sunday of the month is step one. Second Sunday of the month, step two. Third Sunday, step three. So we'd love for you to be a part of The Loop. And so that's it for that. You picked a really good day to be at church. If you have never been here, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be crazy because today we're diving into a series called Faith and Politics. And I know many, I got a new shirt. Look at this shirt someone had made for me today. They wanted me to wear it. Yeah, there we go. It didn't look good with my jeans, so I said no. But anyways, now we're going to jump in, and I get it, like, for some of you, this may be, nervous. And some of you are like, yeah, let's go. Others, you may just be like, oh, gosh, you know, you're sinking. But here's what I believe. I believe that the church should be the safest place for us to talk about anything. Like, this is the place where we want to grow and get knowledge and come together with other people who have the same mind. And the reality is, you guys know this, we're all just real people in a real world facing real problems. And we need to know what God's word says. And let me say this. If you're a believer in Christ, like think about it like this. We all have opinions, right? And that's great. We all need to have opinions. But as a follower of Christ, one of your goals in life is to, like, let your opinions be built on who God made us, right? God's word and what he wants for us. So whether it's my finances, I want to make good godly decisions, my parenting, my being a spouse, like we want that to seek every single part of our life, right? And so even more is it important that politics is filtered through our faith. And just a simple way to say this is, you know, what that means is my faith is the filter, and it comes before my political filter. My faith comes before my political filter, and that's what I want to do today. So there's so many news outlets for you and I today, right? Most of you, you know, you have TV and you can watch different news channels, whatever you want, or you can go on social media. It's probably not the best place to be your only source for news, but we get news from every different place. What I want this series to be is I want you to be informed on what God says, okay? Not what Bobby thinks, not what any side thinks. I want you to be informed about what God says on today's issues. Now, here's what I've learned, okay? In any issue that we're going to talk about, there's always going to be a yeah, but. Yeah, but have you ever thought, I agree with what you're saying, but what if this, right? And some of you are probably really good at that, right? Some of you are probably getting an elbow right now because that's what you do. And that's fine. But the reality is there's always going to be some yeah, buts. There's always going to be what ifs. But I've got 30 minutes, okay? I've only got about 30 minutes to spend time with you. And I want to steward my time and your time well. And I want to make this valuable. So if you have some yeah, buts off of what we talk about today, talk about those over lunch, okay? So we can get through this. If you weren't here last week, quick review. I think this is so vital. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to that. before we can jump into any kind of division and any kind of tough conversations, we got to make sure our foundation's right. Jesus tells his disciples, like, hey, if you build your foundation on the rock, then when the wind and the waves come, you'll be strong, you'll be fine. But if you don't, if your foundation's not real good, when the wind and the rocks and all that comes, it's going to be a crash, and you're going to have a weak foundation. So what does a strong foundation look like? And that's what we talked about last week. Quick review. Believe the Bible. Not just believe the Bible and do what it says. Believe the Bible and do what it says. A lot of people believe the Bible, but they don't live the Bible. And so to have a strong foundation in my life, I believe it and I do what he asked me to do. The second thing is that Christ alone is our hope. Believe that Christ alone. No politician, whoever gets elected in November, is not the hope of the world. Everything's not going to get better or worse. It's going to, Jesus is our hope for the world. We need to make sure that. And then three, believe in a kingdom mentality. I'm not of this world. I'm just passing through. The culture may go this way, but I'm going to have a kingdom mentality. I'm going to love people the way that Jesus tells me to. I'm going to do things the way that God tells me to. I'm not going to be a victim of the culture. So we have to come from this foundation. We have to come from this framework, this filter, if you will. Now, there's a lot of reasons why it's crucial for you and I to have a foundation built on the Lord. But one huge, huge factor, and I think most of you in here would agree with me, all right? There is nothing in our world that divides like politics. There is nothing that divides like politics. And here's what I think. Again, this is just my opinion. I think the reason why that there's nothing that divides like politics is because there's nothing that divides like fear. Like fear divides people. And let me show you this because this God opened up my eyes to this. Let me show you just a quick definition of fear, okay? Look at this with me. Fear, we all have it. We all see it. But we all react to it differently. Basic emotional response to a perceived threat or danger. And then look at this. It triggers the body's fight or flight response, leading to a physiological changes that increase heart rate and adrenaline levels. So think about it with me like this, okay? If I'm fearful of something, really there's kind of two responses. Some of you in here, man, you're like fear comes and boom, you're fight. Let's go to it. Let's run to the, let's run, let's get after it and let's fight. But then others, when fear comes, what do? You're like, I do not want to be around there. It's uncomfortable. They're like, give me away, right? Think about our politics. Isn't that what it seems? It seems like there's no normal people, right? Like, where's just the normal conversations? It's either, I'm all in your face and you got to be just like me, or it's ignoring it. Why can't we just have, I think this is why. Because it's this fear. Now, listen to me. Both sides use fear to get your vote. I want you to understand that, right? Well, the one side will say, those Republicans, man, they're going to take away your opportunity to vote. You pull out those IDs, man, it's racist and it's so bad, right? They use fear. All those Democrats, they're going to steal all your guns. They're going to come to your house. They're going to take all your guns. So you need to vote for me, right? You need to vote for me. What are they doing? It's fear. It's fear for you and I to become to their side. And we have to be careful. We got to make sure that we don't fall victim to this. Now, I'm not going to hang here very much. We got a lot more to talk about today. But let me just say this. There's healthy fear in our life. Like, hey, let's don't go play in traffic, right? There's healthy fear. Don't touch the fire. Don't touch the stove when it's hot, all that. There's healthy fear. But if fear is a consistent emotion in your life, let me just tell you this. That's not from God. That is not from God. If you wake up every single day and you're just thinking what the other side's going to do today and how it's going to be awful and I can't believe this and I got to get ready for this and I got to go have this, if fear is a ruling emotion in your life, that is not from God. So I have a firm foundation. So when the wind blows, when the fear comes, and when my foundation is firm, you know what? I get it. It's just wind blowing. And it's tough, but guess what? My foundation is strong, so I'm going to be okay. So during this election season, over the next few weeks for us here at City Hope, we're going to just look at some of the topics that you and I are faced with almost every time we turn on the TV or we hear something. What are some of the things that we keep seeing over and over? What are some of the policies of the two choices that we have, and how are they bringing fear into the equation as they discuss these policies? So today, we're going to jump into the topic of abortion and sanctity of life. Now, let me say this. I'm going to give you a little side note real quick. I'm not going to be explicit today. I'm not going to be, you know, rated R or anything like that. But we will be having and defining and having an in-depth conversation about abortion. So if you have a child, a young student in here that you don't feel is ready for this conversation, I'm not going to be graphic. It won't be anything like that. We're just going to talk about God's word. But I'm going to pray here in just a second, and maybe that's a good time for you to step out if you don't want them to be a part of the conversation. But so let's go ahead and pray and ask God to speak to us today. Father, I love you. Thankful for who you are. Thankful for your word that we don't have to fear. We can come and be confident in who you are. And Lord, when these seasons of elections and kind of this fear peddling comes into our lives, Lord, we can trust and we can have faith and we can have a firm, strong foundation in you, God. And I just pray that you would do that. Strengthen our foundation today. Make sure, Lord, that we walk out of here with confidence in who you are, who you've called us to be, not in our opinion, not in my opinion, but God, who you are and what you say about this tough, tough issue of abortion. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what is abortion? Been one of the hottest topics over the last 50 years. Every election season we see this, one of the most controversial things in our culture comes up. And there have been a lot of ways that have been described and try to define what abortion is. And I think this is vital, vital, vital. And here's why I think this. People say, well, abortion is a medical procedure, right? It's a surgery. It's a reproductive rights. It's healthcare, all of that. I think it's imperative for us to tell exactly what abortion is. And so let me give you my definition. This isn't God's definition. This is Bobby's, okay? Abortion is the guarantee of a dead baby. It is the guarantee of a dead baby. Now, let me tell you why I believe this. Think about it with me like this. If you went and sat down at a basketball game with somebody who's never watched basketball, and they looked at you and you go and say, what is this? What are you going to tell them? Are you going to look over and go, well, this is just a bunch of really tall dudes getting cardio, right? This is just a bunch of really fast girls that like to run up and down the court. And they're like, what? Like, okay, that's true, but tell me what basketball is. Like, I need to know what that is. So I think it's so, so, so important for us to not describe, but let's get it down and understand. Abortion is the guarantee of a dead baby. So what does the Bible say about that? And this is where I really want you to go with me. Obviously, I don't have a long time, so take notes. Underline stuff, highlight stuff, take pictures, go study this on your own. But I think there's a lot of scripture in God's word. Now, the Bible doesn't mention the word abortion, doesn't talk specifically the issue of abortion. However, there is a lot of passages that we understand how God feels and his view of abortion. And so, letter A, and things I want you to hear about what does the Bible say about abortion? First thing is life comes from God. All life comes from God. Psalm 139, this is David. King David wrote this as a prayer, as a psalm to the Lord. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I've been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All the days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. So think about this. Before any kind of modern science, before ultrasounds, David sat down and he wrote this about God. And here's what we see, kind of very simple, and I try to put this for us to understand. Maybe it's more for just me to understand. Life is life. What God's word is telling us is life. It's precious because God it. Whether it's one day or 100 years on earth, life is life. Even within the womb, God sees life. He values life. He's the author of life. He has ordained all the days of life, just like he has with each and every one of us. God values all of it. Why? Because it came from him. There's a huge value on life. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust, from the ground, and breathed breath of life into his nostrils. Man became a living thing. So the creator, think about this. How important is human beings to God? The creator literally breathed life into humanity. So of all the things God created, the oceans and the sky and the stars and the earth, all the things, the crescendo, the climax, if you will, he created man. And the Bible teaches us that life comes from God. So he's about that life. He is all about that because he created that. So all life comes from God. The second thing I want you to see that Scripture teaches is that human life is sacred. Human life is sacred. So the Bible stands very strong on the protection of human life. Very strong. And it also is very strong. It cries out against anyone attempting to take human life. Genesis 1, verse 27. God created man. This is a big deal. God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So think about this. Human life began when God shaped Adam. How did he shape Adam? In his own image. So if God is going to create you and I in his image, we are his masterpiece. We are his that he created. And so we are then deemed sacred. Being made in the image of God is what gives life human sacredness. It is what gives us this sacredness that we need to hold on to. The image of God, he says, I'm going to create in the image of God, is present when a new life starts in the womb. And God has given that sacredness. Now, the Bible talks a lot. You guys think back with me. Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. The Bible talks a lot about this taking of human life. Thou shalt not murder. Listen to this. This is one of the Old Testament laws that had punishment. Even if you caused an accidental miscarriage. Look what this says in Exodus 21. When men get in a fight and hit a pregnant woman so that her children are born prematurely, but there's no injury, the one who hit her must be fined as the woman's husband demands from him. So even if they're not even messing with her, the Bible talks about if you get bumped and the baby's born and there's no issues, there's still a penalty to pay. But then look at this, verse 23. If there is an injury to that baby, then you must give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, bruise for bruise, wound for wound. Even if accidentally there's two men fighting, and obviously we don't live under those laws today, but I think we get a good understanding of what God's doing here. He's placing a lot of value. He considers that baby in the womb just as much of a human being as those that are not. To take life at any point after conception is to take a life of one who God made in his image. So all life comes from God. Human life is sacred. Number three, that personhood begins before birth. I think the Bible is very clear that personhood begins before birth. Unborn infants are shaped by God. Unborn infants are known by God. Unborn infants are made in the image of God. God has a plan for their life. Now, I don't have time to go through all these scriptures, but let me just give you a few. If you're a note taker and studier after Job 31:15, Psalm 22, verse 9, there's a couple there. But I want to show you this one because I think the language here is really rich, and it's important for us to get this. In Psalm 139, let's go back to what David was saying, right? Listen to this. He's talking to the Lord, and he says, your eyes saw me when I was formless. When I was formless, all the days were written in your book, and you planned every single one, before every single one of them began. Now, the Hebrew word here used for this word formless is golem, G-O-L-E-M. And it's used here in verse 16, and many times it's translated as formless or an unformed substance. So here's David crying out, and he's saying, God, you knew me as an unformed substance, as I was formless. I haven't even been formed yet. You knit me together. Many scholars, biblical scholars, believe that this can accurately be translated as embryo or fetus. And so I think we can get a real good stance on and be affirmed in that God considers personhood before birth ever happens. That a developing child within a mother's womb is a human who has the same potential as would a child born at any other stage in development. Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah in verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 5, I chose you before I formed you. I chose you before I formed you. I set you apart before you were born. I chose you before I formed you. So there's a person chosen by God, valued by God, before they're formed. And see, this is where Christians and the culture, this is where we kind of find this separation from our world right here. Because what we see a lot of is that abortion is about women's rights, right? That's what we hear a lot, okay? And it's not, and we'll talk about this here in just a second. It's not that we're against women's rights. That's not the point for us. And this is the separation. The point for us, that it is a baby that is already present and alive, made in the image of God, and it's sacred, and we love that child, and we want that child of God who he formed before they were formless, who he gave them personhood before they were formed. We want that child to be present and alive. So for us, it's not a battle against women's rights. Abortion is a battle of life or death of a human being made in God's image. And we have to understand this. And again, this may be tough to hear, and I'm sorry, but I just feel like the Lord's been speaking to my heart about saying this. God views abortion as murder. God views abortion as murder. And abortion is killing of a human being created in the image of God. And so if there's one sentence, I try my best to simplify things, and it's really just for me because I'm a very simple-minded person. But I want to give you one sentence. The Bible consistently proclaims the utmost importance of protecting life in the womb. What does the Bible say about abortion? What does the Bible say about this issue? If I can give you one sentence. The Bible consistently proclaims the utmost importance of protecting life in the womb. So let me encourage you to dig into this a little more on your own. See what God's saying. See what you feel like the Bible says. But number two, so what does the Bible say? Number two, what do these candidates say? Two choices that we have. Where do these candidates say? Before I get into that, let me say this. I've done a lot of research, and I want to encourage you, don't take my word for it, okay? I've done a lot, and I'm trying to stay as true as I can find and what I've researched, but go do some more research. And if this is where you may get upset, I'm deeply, deeply sorry, but this is the research that I found. Go do your research. I encourage you to do that. So the two choices we have in November. First of all, our Republican candidate. You need to know that our Republican candidate has moved his position from prior years, from 2016 to 2020. He now supports a 15-week tolerance for abortions. So from up to 15 weeks, abortion is good. After 15 weeks, no, we're not going to do it anymore. Now, what you need to understand is if you go look at any stats, the CDC says 95% of abortions are done within the first 15 weeks. 95%. The Republican Party is not what it used to be. You can go look on the Republican Party platform, and a total ban of abortion is now considered too extreme for people. It's too extreme. Now, something to understand, something holistically that we have to understand. This Republican candidate, the Republican Party, were responsible for the overturning of the ruling of Roe versus Wade. We all know that. And what that does is that gives each state the ability to make laws, and the people can vote and make laws of abortion in their state. Now, South Carolina. Let's talk about South Carolina. I did not know this, okay? So go do your research, and you can learn some more cool stuff too. South Carolina is a state that abortion is banned only after 6 weeks. So the first 6 weeks, abortion's fine. After the first 6 weeks, it is banned. The South Carolina Supreme Court recently in 2023 upheld a heartbeat abortion ban here in South Carolina. So that's where our state sits. There's only 13 states that have a total ban or near total ban of abortions, 13. So we understand where we're at on the Republican side. Now, let me talk about the Democratic candidate. Says abortion should be legal in all cases. Doesn't matter. Supports the legal protections that were there for Roe versus Wade, that ruling. And just so you know, understand what that means. Roe versus Wade, what that simply means is it allowed abortion, access to abortion, and the way they phrased it was, and to the point of fetal viability, right? So that means basically up to around 24 weeks is what this law came into effect. Now, understand this. This is very important. That is the ruling up to 24 weeks, but there are many, many, many exceptions for women to continue to have abortions after 24 weeks. There's a lot of exceptions that are built in there. So our Democratic candidate is very vocal on abortion, wants Congress immediately. One of the first things she's going to do is going to pass a national law codifying access to safe abortion. What that simply means is the federal government can't overturn it. It's each state. It is what it is. It's going to be there. She wants to codify that. Something to note, this year, and I had to do a lot of research for this, and I encourage you to go do it too. There was, at the Democratic National Convention, there was a mobile abortion clinic outside offering free abortions during the Democratic National Convention. I say that because I want you to understand the enormity of both of these. This is something that is a really, really, really big deal in our world. Really big deal. We do not have a candidate in this race that is pro-life. I hope that doesn't offend you, but I want you to understand the protection of life is not like it was 30 years ago. Go back and look up some of the people that maybe you think extreme and far. Go back and look at some of the statements that were made 30 years ago, and today we would be like, yeah, that's normal. But we thought it was radical back then. The protection of life is not like it was 30 years ago. All right, so you tell me what the Bible says, telling you where these candidates are, all right? Well, what does that look like for us? What should the church do? What should the church say? Like, okay, I get all that, but I still have to live my life. I still have to do things. I still have to have conversations. I still have to figure this out. What should the church say? Let me give you two things real quick. I'm going to tell you a couple stories, and then we'll be done. What I believe the church should do is, number one, you need to make your vote count. Make your vote count. I looked it up, or I figured it up in my life. This is my, I think, eighth. It's either seventh or eighth election that I've been alive for, that I've been old enough to vote. And it always seems like, year to year, the same phrase comes up. Well, I got to pick the lesser of two evils, right? It always feels like, almost every single time, it's always, well, I got to pick the lesser of two evils. And that just seems like something we say. Well, as Christians, I want you to understand something where God comes from and where our job is. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 with me and look why this is a big deal. Why is it a big deal for you and I to vote? Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. It is our job as Christians, as followers of Christ, those of us who are on the team, it is our job to push for righteousness to win the day. That's every day at work, that's at home, that's at school, that's on my team, that's on my whatever it is, that's in my church, that's in my government, that's in my community. That is our job, to push for righteousness to win the day. And here's what I believe. I don't believe that we need to sit this one out. I just don't like either one of them, so I'm just going to sit this one out. I don't believe we should do that. Not because the world's going to end if you don't, right? It's not a fear thing. But it's an opportunity for you to stand up for what's right, what's righteous. Now, you know what it takes for evil to flourish anywhere? Is when the righteous do nothing. Evil will flourish when the righteous do nothing. So the results of Christians who are trying to push righteousness into this world, evil will rush in where there's no righteousness. I heard one pastor say it like this: even if you have to go vote holding your nose because you don't like either candidate, we got to go and be engaged and use your vote for the most righteous choice in front of you. So number one, make your vote count. Number two, and I would say, again, this is Bobby's opinion, this might be more important. As a church, we need to make our voice heard by what they see. Make your voice heard by what they see. Now, this isn't Bobby's opinion. This is what God calls us to do. If you are a believer, not if you go to church, not if you pray a little bit, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, this is a command from God. This isn't a suggestion. This is what he is calling you to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago. You're light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. It gives light for all to see in the house. Now listen to this, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, and then look at that, so that they may see your good works. They may see your good works. Why do we need them to see our good works? It's so that God gets the glory. Why is it important for you and I to live our lives, to make our voice heard by what people see in us? It's so that God would get the glory. Here's what I believe, that when the church sees people the way God sees people, that's when we start to take action. I want to kind of wind down our time here with two stories. Sometimes when we think about topics like this, abortion, we think you're coming from a perspective, well, I don't know anybody that's faced that. I don't, you know, that's not in my family. That's just those people up in, you know, New York and D.C. and out in California. Sometimes that's your perspective, right? Some of you, this hits close to home today. Some of you maybe have experienced this. Some of you maybe know somebody really close to you that has walked through this. 2022, we started City Hope Church. Everywhere I went, I was handing out cards, inviting everybody, whether it's at the gas pump, the grocery store, you know, I didn't care where I was. I still do that a lot, but I met this young man. Oddly enough, his name was Bobby. And I met this young man. He was 19 years old. He just graduated from high school the year before. Became friends with him, invited him to church. He came, 19 years old. He had a son. I think his son was one, somewhere around there. Bobby and I tried to stay up with him. I tried to take him to lunch and hang out. Well, one day after he came to our church a couple times, one Saturday, I get a phone call. It's Bobby. I say, "Hey, Pastor Bobby, how you doing?" "Good, man." He said, "Hey, listen, I need a favor." "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "My girlfriend and I drove down to Jacksonville and we're sitting outside of the abortion clinic. And they told us it would only be $150, and that's all we bought. But now they're telling us it's $300. Can I borrow $150 to get this abortion?" Obviously, as many of you right now, I was shocked. I was like, I've been in ministry a long time. I've never been faced with something like that. That was hard. And I immediately just kind of went into pastor mode, and I'm like, "Dude, you got other options. I'll drive down there right now. I'll help you. Don't go through with that. Do not walk in there. Don't, you know, we'll find you adoptive parents. We'll help you with your, you know, I'm just trying everything. Don't do this, man. This isn't your only option. This isn't New York City. This isn't Washington, D.C. This is Bluffton, South Carolina." Go on and have the conversation, and I'm just broken. I'm praying for him. I call him back. "Man, please don't go through this. Please don't go through this." He said, "Here's what we're going to do. We can't get the money, so we're just going to head back to Bluffton, and we'll figure it out later." I lost contact with Bobby and tried to find him, tried to find his house, tried to find anything. I have no idea what happened to that baby. I think about it a lot. But the thing that really bothers me is that our culture has made that such a normal thing. Our culture has made this just an everyday thing that this young man, and I don't blame him, he's 19 years old, this young man called the pastor of a church to see if he could get help with abortion. That's where we're at in this world. Shear and I, over the years of ministry, have had opportunities to minister to a lot of people. And there's a group of people that when this topic comes up, never gets talked about, never gets mentioned. It's about the people that are really, really deeply struggling after they have an abortion. It doesn't get talked about. I walked with several young ladies and moms who have made this decision. About 3 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and there was a lady that came in, a mom. She had a couple kids. She had been talking to one of her friends that was an acquaintance of mine, and how she had an abortion when she had her third kid. They didn't feel like they could handle it, and so she made the decision, her and her husband made the decision to have an abortion. And she walks into my office, church, and she's just shaking. I introduce myself, and she looks at me and she says, "Listen, I know what I did is unforgivable from God." She said, "I know that I'm a low-class Christian, but I can't live my life like this anymore." One of the hardest conversations I've ever had, to look at somebody in the eye and they were overwhelmed with guilt and condemnation and said, "I know that I'm unforgivable. I know that God can't forgive me for what I did." We started meeting with this mom. And we got to this place where we had a funeral for the aborted baby. And I know that God's put me here on this earth to help hurting people. That's nothing fills me up more than that. But I'm standing, leading a funeral for an aborted child. Hardest thing I've ever done. I'm just going to be honest with you. Emotions were going nuts and everybody there. And at the end, she had a balloon and she cut the balloon, symbolizing that she's given it to God. The balloon went up into the skies, symbolizing the baby is now in heaven with the Lord. And the part about this that we don't hear a lot about is the love and the care and the hope and the peace and the forgiveness that so many people in our world need. And that is why it's so important for you and I to do our job as a Christian to be a light in a dark, dark world. That's why it's so important for you to love people the way that Jesus loves people. Not the way that any candidate tells you to love people. Not that you treat people the way that God asks us to treat people. And more important, it's imperative that we Christians treat people the way that God treats people. The people that we disagree with, the people that are nothing like us, vote different than us, especially the people who don't believe like you do. Two things. One, if you have ever experienced abortion in your life, if you need somebody to care for you, you need somebody to love you, that's what City Hope's for. I cannot imagine to go around feeling I'm unlovable, I'm unforgivable, what I did. And so if that's you, that's why we're here. That's why Hope is our middle name. It's because through Christ there is hope, there's healing, there's peace for you. Maybe you're not struggling with it, but you know somebody that is. We want to be that. I've shared this with you before. I have a vision in my heart, and they were birthed from these two situations that City Hope, one day we create what we're calling the Hope Center, and this is just a place, a community hub for people to come. And part of the heartbeat of the Hope Center is to have a place for these young 19-year-old people that are faced with this decision that everyone's telling them it's just normal and you can go do this and there's not going to be no consequences, that we can help guide them. We can help love them. It's to care for those who have made this decision and that are now broken and that they feel unlovable. That's what the Hope Center is all about. And I can't wait. I so look forward to all that God's going to do in there. But church, we got to shine our light. There's pregnancy centers. There's adoption. There's foster care. There's one-on-one mentoring. There's people in Bluffton, South Carolina that need the church to stand up, be a light, to love people the way that Jesus calls us. I fully, wholeheartedly believe that the church can still make a difference. Billy Graham has a million awesome quotes, but I want you to see this. He said, he's talking to Christians, "We are the Bible the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding." Make your voice heard by letting the world see your good deeds. Not so that we get the glory, so that he does. I'm probably going to say this next part a lot over this series, but I just want it to sink in. The cultural decay, the cultural decline that we see, it's not going to be reversed by whoever gets elected in November. My hope is not in a politician. My hope is not in anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you, church, I want City Hope to be a church that uses our faith as our political filter. Don't live by fear. Don't live by what ifs. Live with confidence. And I want you to know you have a church who loves you, who cares for you, that wants to help strengthen your foundation as you go out into this world. So let's be informed about what God's word says. Let's be informed. Let's know. Let's be able to stand for who God calls us to be and what he calls us to be. Let's be an informed person. But also let's be a person who goes into this world and loves people the way that Jesus does. Us arguing our way, arguing our point, very rarely wins anyone over. But I promise you, love does. The love of Jesus does. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for just tough conversations. Lord, I pray that you would raise up some men and women in this church that would live out Matthew chapter 5, that our light would shine. Lord, that we kind of get recentered on it's not about right or left or red or blue, God, it's about Jesus. And God, help us to be reminded of that. Even when we drift off, when we fall into the cycle, when we allow fear to creep in, Lord, help us to get back to that confidence in you. Lord, I pray for that. I pray for that young man that felt like that was his only choice. But I pray if there's someone in our church, someone listening on our podcast that is broken, that feels unlovable, God, that you would bring them closer to you and see that they're not unlovable. You created them. You formed them. You have plans for them. Help us as a church to stand up for hope, for love, for peace, for goodness. And most of all, help us to stand up for righteousness. Lord, may we be a people that are known for what we stand for. Praise you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, I know today's heavy, and whether than we talked about today or something totally different, our teams here are for you. That's why we do this. That's why we do what we do every week. And we've got some incredible people on our team that would love to pray with you, take God's word, show you. If that's a conversation today, if that's an email, a phone call, a text, whatever that is, we're here for you. You don't have to go at this alone. So thank you guys so much for being here. Shira's going to come give us some announcements.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.